It's good to be with all y'all this morning. If you would get that Cold Houses and Weak Coffee and turn to the, not now, but when if you get a copy, you can turn to, I believe it's the second page in just little bitty font. I'll tell you why I named that book the way I did. Now, you got to get the book to read it. I'm not going to tell you, but the answer is there. The answer is there. And then you can call and talk to me. We'll have a good laugh about it. But until then, I'm just going to keep y'all in the dark. But I'm very, very thankful to be with you this morning and to be with you this weekend. It's been a great blessing to me, and I'm sure to my brother Mike, to be able to be with you and to worship the Lord with you this weekend. I will even say this. It's been a wonderful privilege to be with Mike. I'll say this now that he's gone, but I mean this in all sincerity. Elder Mike Montgomery, I guess of all the people that I know, I would consider him to be my best friend. And I have learned more of the Bible through his ministry, through his teaching. And I would even go as far as to say if I had to choose a favorite preacher, it would be him. And I wouldn't take for any of the sermons he's preached to us this weekend. And it was, I praise the Lord for it. I'm thankful. And I'm very, very thankful for you. Y'all have been so good to us. So I feel right at home. I feel at home in your new building. Feel like I've been with you for the past 100 years. And the Lord is good to you. The Lord is here at Bethel Church. And I thank God for you. And I thank the Lord for being good to us this weekend. And especially want to thank Brother and Sister Lawrence for their very kind hospitality to us. I'm sure it has been a very unique and interesting experience having two Montgomerys with them, but you know, I'm sure they're going to appreciate the company a lot better now that we got finished with them. And if you all would come to Fredericksburg, down there in the central part of Texas, we're just right in the middle of Texas. We call that the hill country of Texas. Texas is not all flat land, it's not all sagebrush, it's not tumbleweeds. We actually got some trees down there. Had a person from Tennessee came and said, them ain't trees, them are bushes. And I said, well, when I come up here to Tennessee, I get claustrophobia because I feel like I'm hemmed in. I like to be able to see where I'm going, and I see all these trees here, and it just kind of, you know, I kind of got to get my bearings straight. But you know, when the Lord's with us, it could be in the flatlands, it could be in the hill country, it can be trees or no trees. It's always a beautiful place and a beautiful time, and I feel like the Lord has been with us, even in spite of me and Mike. The Lord has just blessed us very, very much. I want to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Kings, and I want to look at an incident in the life of the prophet Elisha. This is a favorite of mine, and one that I have studied and thought about for about 30 years. It has remained with me all this time. Recently, I've picked this up again, and it's been a blessing to me, and I pray that it would be a blessing to you. I turn to the fourth chapter of 2 Kings, and in the verse, in the eighth verse, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. We are introduced to what inspiration describes as a great woman. What the world would call great is very different than what the scriptures would say great. The Associated Press or the history books, the 5 or 6 o'clock news might describe someone as great that led great armies in victory, may have been the president or the king of some great country, led some great empire, maybe wrote some great book, invented something. The world would say that is great. But what this woman did, I'm sure none of them would look at and say, well, that's not so great. But in the eyes of the Lord, it was. As a matter of fact, the things that she did are things that every one of us can do And may I say, every one of us ought to do. We ought to be doing the things that she did. Not that we would be called great, but because it is our reasonable service. The prophet Elisha would pass by her house, and she constrained him to eat bread. She insisted for him to come into her house and to eat a meal with them. She was great in hospitality. I've certainly been well entertained by you and by Brother and Sister Lawrence. I'm very thankful for that. That is not lost on me. I hope I can pay y'all back someday. Come see me, not all at one time, but y'all all come. We'll have a good time. I'll take you to get some Mexican food. You'll enjoy it. We'll have a good time and hopefully treat you in a way that you'd want to come back. I would like to come back if that's all right with y'all. You don't even need to invite me. I know where this church is. You don't have to invite me. I'll just pop in someday. That's how good I feel about this church. May the Lord bless you. Thank you very much. Hospitality. She was great in hospitality. The scriptures tell us that we are to be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. That has really happened. You can read in the scriptures where that really happened. People had people over. They turned out to be angels. I can read in scriptures where some had the Lord Jesus Christ over. We can read in the Old Testament and in the New. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Sister Martha. I just love Sister Martha. Mary gets all the good press, but I love Sister Martha. She was a good cook. She was concerned about things. That's interesting. I like that. But she was a woman of great faith, as Brother Lawrence read that scripture to us yesterday about her statement on the resurrection. One of the greatest statements on the resurrection was made by Sister Martha. She was great in hospitality. This woman was great in hospitality. She had this man over, and she didn't even know that he was a prophet. She knew that he was a good man, no doubt, but she didn't have him over just because he was a prophet. That's just the way she was. She was careful to entertain strangers. We'll have folks over at our house. We like to have company. Sometimes we'll have the preachers come stay with us. My wife will always ask, is his wife coming? I've always wondered about that. Then I figured it out. She needs to know how much she needs to clean the house. There's the preacher coming clean, and there's the preacher's wife coming over clean. See, preacher don't care about that. Just give me a clean path to the coffee pot. He's all right. If the wife comes, I don't want her to think I'm a bad housekeeper, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People would always ask me, and when my kids were small, are your children coming? I finally figured that one out. They want to know they need to put up all the breakables, batten down the hatches, you know, put up all the china and all that kind of stuff. Are your kids coming? Yes. All right, honey, we got to to do something about this. That's kind of funny, but if you met my children, you'd understand that. But it's wonderful to have company. I grew up in a minister's home, and some of my most precious memories are hearing my father and the ministers speak on the scriptures. We have several ministers' children in this congregation. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Or maybe everybody has had that experience. I hope you have. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. There are times I remember hearing them talk about the Bible, and I'll wake up the next day, don't know how I got. Somebody picked me up, put me to bed. What a precious thing. I remember that. A lot of ministers have gone on to be with the Lord. I can still hear their voices in my head today as they talked on the word of the Lord. She constrained the prophet to eat bread. But then we read in the 9th verse, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. She was great in perception. She thought about things. We're told we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to think. We have the ability to discern. We're not mindless robots. We've got the ability to perceive. God has given that. We ought to do it. We ought to perceive. We ought to think. We also ought to trust the Lord. We also ought to pray the Lord that he would give us wisdom and discernment. And when he does, we ought to use it. We ought to use it. The Lord can bless us, does bless us. As a matter of fact, the Lord encourages us in the book of James that we ought to pray for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. We should be praying constantly for wisdom. This woman was a perceptive person. I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set before him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. She was great in giving. Great in giving. Great in giving. You know, giving is not a duty. Giving is a privilege. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us everything. He gave up paradise, died a terrible death that we would be free. We ought to not complain, to give back to him. Not to get closer to heaven, but in appreciation of what he's done for us. He gave us the best. We ought to give him the best. You know, there's nothing more important than what we're doing right now. Being in the house of the Lord, there's no soccer game. There's no Boy Scout or Girl Scout meeting. There's no this, that, or the other thing that's more important than what we're doing right now. This is the most important thing you'll do this week. You can have a meeting with the President of the United States this week. This is more important. You know why? You've got a meeting with the King of Kings right now. I say that's a more important meeting than with the President or any other great person in the world. Right now, we're with the King of Kings. Wow, well, what a meeting that is. We need to keep this meeting. We need to keep this appointment. We need to keep it regularly. I need to keep it regularly. Matter of fact, I need to look forward to it. I need to encourage others. We need to encourage others. As we see the day coming, the book of Hebrews, when we see Sunday coming, we ought to encourage one another to be in the house of the Lord to worship together. Well, she said, I perceive this as a man of God. Let's make a chamber. Let's make a chamber. And let's put a bed and let's put a stool. We'll put a candlestick. We'll put a chair. We'll just put everything he needs. And that will be the prophet's room. Now, friends, I've been in homes across the country. I've been in beautiful homes. I've been in very poor homes. I've had children have to give up their bed for me. Oftentimes, I'll go into someone's home, the kids will leave me by the head and say, you can sleep in my room. You're going to sleep in my room. Well, they're actually happy about it. I remember I used to be resentful of the preachers coming. I got to give up my bed for him. I got to listen to him. I got to do all this. He's got to preach too long, and then I got to give up my bed for him. I was a reprobate heathen devil. But I've had kids, I mean, seriously, they've taken me by the hand and said, Brother David, you can sleep in my room. You can sleep in my room. They showed me all their toys. They showed me everything. Just happy to have Brother David. That's a wonderful thing. I was staying in a home one time where there was one bed in the house, and I got it. Very poor man, didn't have much, gave me the only bed in the house. I was staying in the home of Brother and Sister Casey. They gave me the entire second floor of their house. She said, there's four bedrooms up there, take your pick. Just whatever you want. She said, but I recommend you take the blue room. Well, when Sister Casey says, take this room, you better take it. She knows what she's talking about. And I tell you what, she was right. That was a wonderful night in that room. Just beautiful, beautiful bed, just beautiful antiques, wonderful place. But I've never had anybody build me a room. Now, that would be something. She built a room for the prophet. Now, that's hospitality. That's giving. And when Elijah got there and he saw that room, he was just so impressed. He was so humbled. He was so touched. But he said to his servant, you know, we just got to do something in return. She has been careful for us with all this care. He said, you go talk to that woman. You go and you say to her, now, I can talk to the king. I can give your husband a cabinet post. I can speak to the general of the armies. I can do things for y'all. I mean, I want to do it. Just name it and I'll give it to you. I'll do it. Just whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And you want to know what that woman said? It's one of my favorite expressions in the Word of God. She said, I dwell among my own people. She was great in contentment. Have you ever not dwelled among your own people? Have you ever lived apart from your loved ones? I know how that feels. At the age of 11, my family was transferred to the state of Utah. Did y'all know there are no primitive Baptists in the state of Utah? There's a lot of something else, but there's no primitive Baptist. And people have asked me, why do you get along so well with your brothers? Well, we had to get along. That's the only friends we had. We were forced to. We just had each other. And for 2 years, we lived in that foreign land. And all we had was just each other. I had a teacher have me stand up in class one day, and he said, Montgomery, I don't like you, and I'm going to fail you. I had people challenge me for want to take me outside. That's a bad feeling. That's a lonely feeling to not be among your own people. But we found out there were two churches in the state of Idaho, 255 miles away. And we went. Now I hear kids complaining, oh, we gotta drive 30 minutes to go to church. Give me a break. Cry me a river. I do not feel sorry for you, and your tears have no effect on me. How would you like to drive 5 hours one way to church? How would you like? Let me just tell you a Sunday morning, a typical Sunday morning. 5 o'clock in the morning. No, 4:30 a.m. in the morning. My dad knocks on the door and says, wake up, boys, we're going to church. 4:30 in the morning. They would drag us out of bed. They would throw a biscuit at us. They would throw us in the station wagon. And we would drive 5 hours to go to church, sit down for singing, for preaching, get a lunch, get back in the car, drive 5 hours back, and you got to drive 30 minutes and you're griping about it? It was dark when we left. It was dark when we got home. But I saw the faithfulness of my mom and dad. It wasn't easy to get four boys into a station wagon and drive 5 hours and go to church, but they did it. And they did it regularly. But during the winter, my father called the deacon up there in the church, and the deacon said, well, we're snowed under, you can't get through. You just don't even need to come up. Well, I started rejoicing when I heard that. I said, amen and amen. Boy, I tell you what, I can sleep late. I can just do anything I want to tomorrow. 7:30 in the morning. Wake up, boys, we're going to church. I said, well, Dad, you know we can't make it. He said, we're having home church. They drug us out of bed, threw a biscuit at us, threw us on the couch, threw a songbook in our lap, and my mother said, sing. You know what we did? We sang. My dad got his Bible out. And he preached to us. And my friends, I can remember everything he said to this day. I can still hear our voices. That's where I learned, grace, 'tis a charming sound. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. That's the singing school I went to. And the Lord was there. I thank my God for parents like that. Sometimes, my friends, the easiest path is the one of least resistance. We're professional complainers. I used to think of every reason to get out of church. None of them worked. As I like to say, I had a drug problem when I grew up. I was drugged to church. That's a kind of good drug problem you need to have. I was drugged to church, drugged to school, drug here, drug that. But I saw how much my parents loved the Lord through their works and through their faithfulness. And it meant something to me. And it registered that has never left me. I trust it never will. One thing that I hope to impart to my children. You will go to church. You will. I don't care if you don't like it. You're going anyway. You got to be on your deathbed to miss. I know sometimes it's difficult. I remember I'd be up here trying to preach and I'd see Robbie back there with four boys. They just giving her fits. And I say, oh man, if I could just go back there and help her. She went and she did it. I thank my Lord for that. But I remember when we got the news that Dad's coming back to Texas. We rented a U-Haul van and loaded that in 30 minutes. Dad drove that U-Haul van. We all got with Mom in the station wagon. And we made that trek from Ogden, Utah, down to Lampasas, Texas. Went down, hit the Four Corners, crossed into New Mexico, hit Highway 84, crossed over the state line in Texas. We whooped and cheered. Got gas in Mule Shoe, Texas. Man came out. He saw that moving van and that station wagon with Utah license plates, and he said, well, how y'all doing? Well, y'all come a long way. How good to see y'all. My mother started crying. I said, Mom, what's wrong? She says, we're home. We're home. It's good to dwell among your own people. My beloved, look around. This is your people. You may not be related biologically to anybody in this house, but you've got a better relation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen and amen. The best first name you'll ever get is brother or sister. It may be David, Ronald, it may be this or that, but if you're brother and sister, that's a good first name to have. I suggest we use it. Behold, you're among your own people. That's a great, great blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. And I pray that I never lose the specialness and the appreciation that I ought to have for being able to dwell among the saints of the Lord and in the house of God. That's an often overlooked blessing. When we got back to Texas, we went to 10 church meetings in 2 days. I mean, we went to every church meeting you can find. And I didn't complain one bit. I never griped about going to church after that experience. I dwell among mine own people. I'm content. I'm fine. The Lord's been good to me. I don't need anything. He's satisfied. He's made me content. He's taken care of me. Matter of fact, we can all say the Lord has been better to us than we deserve. The Lord has been good to us. The Lord has been good to every single one of us. You know, we can have pity parties, but I'd rather have a praise party. We got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to look forward to. But just to have this situation that we're in now, this peaceful setting, this building, but yet more than that, these people and the Lord among us, amen, we are among our own people. It's good. Thank you. But you know, Elisha just thought, well, there's just got to be something we can do. And his servant said, well, she has no child. And he said, well, you call her. And she stood and he said, about this time, according to the season of life, you will have a son. And she, let me just read that. And verse 16, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. It was just too good to be true. But verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, if the story ended right here, it'd be a good, it's still a real good story. But we're about halfway through. That son, that little boy, grew up. He went out to his father in the field and he complained of a headache. The father had the son brought to his mother. Verse 20, we read, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. My friends, bad, tragic things happen in life. It happens. People die. We get sick. We're getting older. Things usually don't work out the way we thought they would. Sometimes we're very disappointed. Sometimes we're very afraid. Sometimes our heart is broken. Her son died in her arms, this promised child, and he died. Sometimes we think, how could the Lord let something like that happen? You know what my answer to this? If you're going to take that track, then how could the Lord do what he has done for us? You could say, how could good things happen to bad people? No, friends, good things happen to bad. How could bad things happen to good people? Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm going to have some coffee a little bit later. How can bad things happen to good people? I say, well, let me tell you this. How come good things happen to bad people? There's none righteous, no, not one. The Lord did not have to save us from our sins, but he did. The Lord didn't have to give us the church, but he did. The Lord didn't have to give us the scriptures, but he did. The Lord didn't have to give us each other, but he did. We have better than we deserve. You know what you deserve is hell, eternity in hell. Thanks be unto God, we don't get that. We get what we don't deserve. We get what Jesus deserves. Now that ought to make you happy. Yes, I know tragic things happen. Tragic things happen. We tend to want to ask the Lord. We blame God. God, why did you let this happen? Well, why did God let his son die? Why did God send his son to die for our sins? Why did God make heaven? Why is God going to send him to take us home to glory? Let's be talking to the Lord about those things. That'll make you feel good. Some people are optimists. Some people are pessimists. Some people say it's half full, it's half empty. I'm just glad there's water in the glass. I'm just glad somebody put some water in there because I would have forgot to do it. I'm the hopeless optimist. It drives people crazy. I'm one of those happy people at 6 o'clock in the morning that you can't stand. That's me. That's the way I am. I'm happy at 12 o'clock at night. You know why? I've got a lot to be happy about. The Lord sits on his throne. The Lord sent his son to die. The Lord's going to come back and take us home. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. I get to hear y'all sing. I get to hear good preaching. I get to read the scriptures. I get to go to the Lord in prayer. I get to hear the gospel preached. I'm poor. I'm afflicted. I don't deserve it. But he blesses me anyway. And it's like that song that we sing, and when my soul was racked with pain, Jesus appears and smiles again. There are times in my life that I thought, it's it, the bottom's dropped out. I just want to lay down and die. Seriously. I want to just die. I want to forget about it. Sometimes even the hopeless optimist gets in the depressed state. The Lord comes along and he blesses them. When I lost my job, I thought, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my family? Got 3 kids in college. What am I going to do? We're in the recession. We've got gas prices. We've got utility prices. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How hell am I going to take care of this? The Lord said, I'll show you how. I'll take care of it. You know, when the 3 months were over, I had more money in the bank than when I started. I don't know how that happened. All I can say is God took care of it. God bless people to help us. Little bitty church in Hopeville, California sent me $1,500. Robbie said, what did you preach out there? She said, you need to preach that at home. I'm still trying to remember what I preached out there in Hopeville. Little bitty church. God leads his dear children along. Sometimes when you think nothing good's going to happen, God just opens the windows of heaven. She took that child and laid him in the prophet's chamber. She told her husband, I'm going to go see the prophet. He said, well, why are you going this time? Why are you going this time of year? Why? You know what she said? She said, it shall be well. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Friends, I got good news for you. You don't have to believe me for this to be true. It shall be well. It shall be well. It shall be well. I need to say that 102 times. Maybe you'll get it. It shall be well. Because what's your situation? What's wrong with you? What's going on in your life? What are you sorrowing about? What's the matter? What's the problem? What is your heart broken about right now? No doubt every one of us has several problems that we need prayer for. We may have a health problem. We may have a depression. We may have a mental problem. We may have a spiritual problem. We may be in a bad financial way. We may be worried. We may be stressed out. I know. I get it. I understand. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. I get it. I'm there. I'm right there. I understand. Yes. Yes. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in life that gets to us. The bottom drops out of life. Sometimes it happens. Tragic things happen. We can be coming home to a house full of people, and then just a few years later, we're the only one. I know. I get it. I get that. Things don't go according to our script. People do things that are wrong. They upset us. They break our hearts. They hurt our feelings. They don't do the right thing. It happens. My friends, I've done it to other people. They've done it to me. But my beloved friends, I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that's never disappointed me. He's always encouraging me. He always catches me by surprise by how wonderful and beautiful and how powerful he is. It shall be well. Beloved, it shall be well. I know it takes faith. I used to preach real good sermons on faith. People come to me and say, Brother David, I got so many problems, I don't know what to do. I'd say, well, where's your faith? Now, it says in Hebrews, and it says this, and I preach some good sermons on faith. And then when it came my turn, you know what I was saying? Man, I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. This is it, man. This is it. This is the last day right now. I'm checking out. It's just nothing good's ever going to happen. And I had to walk by faith. Did you know it's a very frightening thing to walk by faith? Seriously. It's a very frightening thing to walk by faith. But it is also the most comforting way to walk. When you are completely dependent on the Lord, you are in the safest place you can be. Now, you may say, I want to know what's going to happen next week. You're better off not knowing. The scriptures tell us that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a footlight. It just lights one step at a time. Now, I want it to be a headlight on high beams. I want it to be a floodlight. Do you want to know how much faith you need? You need just enough faith to utter one more prayer. Take that next step. One more prayer. And he'll get you through that next step. Then you pray again. He'll get you through that next step. Just keep praying, keep praying. It shall be well. When she saw the prophet, she said, it is well. When you're far away from God's people, sure. But you can be reminded of the gospel. You can say, it shall be well. When you're with God's people, all of a sudden it is well. And when you're with the Lord face to face, it will always be well. I've got permission, and I've got 2.5 minutes left in this sermon. It's against the Articles of Faith in the state of Texas to preach past 12 o'clock. Oh, that's right. I'm in Tennessee right now. Okay. It's probably 10 till 12 up here. I'm not finished yet. I still got a little bit yet. Y'all hang with me. I've got permission from a dear sister to give her story. She has given me permission. Matter of fact, she's encouraged me to give her story to as many as people that will listen. I want to tell you a story of a precious friend of mine. Y'all probably know her. You may have heard this story. She has given me permission to tell it. They're at a meeting one time, and they all went to her mother's house between services. When it came time for supper, they all loaded up, and they were going back to the church. She was one of the last ones to leave, and she backed out, and she felt something different, and something told her to go back to her mother's house. When she got back to her mother's house, she saw her little boy lying in the driveway. She had run over her child. When she got to the child, the boy had died. Her mother came out and saw her screaming, "I've killed my baby, I've killed my baby." They buried that little boy, and all she could do was just think about what she had done. She had other children, but she couldn't forget the one, and she could not forgive herself. It was an accident, but she just couldn't get over it. She told me in the presence of many witnesses here recently, she says, "I wanted to take my life." Something told her to go back to church. Just go back to church one more time. She went back to church. Sitting in the back row during singing service, she saw a vision and she saw her little boy. And she heard a voice. "Mama, it's all right. I'm with Jesus. You're going to see me someday." And she found the grace to go on. If the Lord can bless her in that tragic circumstance to this day to give that testimony, what is my case? Who am I to complain? What am I to say? You know what I can say? It is well. That man who wrote that hymn lost his children in a tragic accident. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. But it is well. What's wrong, my friends? What's the matter? It's all right. It is well. One of these days, I'll tell you I told you so. Let's get a jump on it right now. Let's believe in him. Not to get saved, you know that. Just to have it right now. To have that blessing right now. The prophet went back and took that child, and, you know, the child lived. Scriptures tell us that child sneezed 7 times. Good sermon for Brother Ronald Lawrence to preach to you is the 7 sneezes of the Shunammite son. I want him to tell us what those sneezes are. I mean, that'd be a good sermon, Brother Ronald. Well, that first sneeze is election. That second sneeze is predestination. I mean, you know, some old Baptist is going to preach on that someday. Probably already has. Somebody said, "What do you think that means, Brother Dave?" I said, "Well, it means the child is alive." No doubt. Somebody sneezes 7 times, they're alive. When I used to sneeze, my mother would say, "Bless you." I'd sneeze again, she'd say, "Goodness." When I sneezed 3 times, she said, "Scat." I said, "Why do you say scat?" She goes, "I'm telling the cat to get away." She says, "There's a cat around. You know, there's a cat fur. You're sneezing because of the cat." How about that? You always wondered about that, didn't you? I just explained it to you. Best point of the whole sermon right there. I don't know what she said. If I sneezed 4 times, she'd probably take my temperature. But anyway, she'd say, "Scat." He sneezed 7 times. He was alive. He took her down. Mother held her in his arms. My friends, you may say, "Well, Brother David, my children, I've had the tragedy of losing my children. I didn't have a prophet to come down for that child to come back alive." I understand, but you'll see that child again. You'll know that child. When David lost his little boy, he said, "He cannot come to me, but I shall go to him." One of these days, we're going to them. What a great day that will be. I'm looking forward to that meeting, and I'm not going to miss that meeting, and neither are you. They say there's no empty seats in heaven. My friends, I tell you what, it may be standing room only, I don't know, but I'll tell you this much, it's going to be a good meeting that day. It's going to be a meeting that will never end. And I'll leave you with a story. My son said, "Dad, what are we going to do in heaven?" I said, "Well, your grandpa wrote a hymn." You see, he wrote a hymn. He says, "When we've been there 10,000 years on that celestial shore, we'll sing and sing and sing and sing his praise forevermore." I thought that would be a good answer. You know what he says? He says, "Dad, I can't sing that long." Well, I tell you what, whatever we do, you'll be satisfied and it'll be all right. And I'm looking forward to that day. Until then, may we just continue to press on. May God richly bless you.